This is The 21st. I'm Anna Casey, a producer on the show. Our host, Brian Mackey, is on vacation this week, so we're revisiting some of our favorite segments from the show recently, including this one about Illinois wine. Italy, France, Spain, and California are all known for their great wines. Illinois in the Midwest, well, traditionally hasn't been considered one of the great wine regions of the world. But there are dozens of wineries throughout the state, and Illinois winemakers say they're making good wines here but aren't allowed to sell any of it without a distributor. That's because of a Prohibition-era law. The Illinois wine industry is pushing to change that by backing an amendment to the state's 1934 Liquor Control Act. The legislation was put forward by Senator Rochelle Crow, a Democrat from suburban St. Louis. It would raise the maximum number of gallons of wine that Illinois wineries could sell themselves directly to restaurants. Last month, our host Brian was joined by Andres Beso, general manager of Linfrid Winery in Roselle, Illinois, in the northwest suburbs. We were also joined by Lisa Ellis, executive director of the nonprofit Illinois Grape Growers and Vintners Alliance, based in Springfield. Here's that conversation.
So, Lisa, as I mentioned in the introduction, when people think of American wine, California, Pacific Northwest are probably the first places that come to mind. Can you talk about how suitable is Illinois for growing grapes for wine?
Well, Illinois is very suitable for growing grapes. It may not be the grapes that we've been marketed to about from our friends on the West Coast. Every region of the world, based on their climate and their soil, can grow a grape. California may be known for, say, Merlot or a Zinfandel, which produces a really fabulous dry red wine, and you can do other things with it. In Illinois, you're going to be looking for a varietal as Chamberson or a Norton, for example. So we're already at a little bit of a marketing disadvantage because the people on the West Coast got a head start many decades ago, but we're working very hard to catch up.
Does Illinois have its own distinct wine regions, or is it safe to think of the state largely as its own region?
Well, we do look at the state from a marketing perspective, as one area, but we do have pockets where there are American viticulture areas that are established. For example, we've got one in the northern part of the state, and then the southern part of the state is part of one of the largest and oldest AVAs in the country, the Shawnee Hills AVA. And so you'll see stronger numbers of producers in those areas, and also that leads to maybe a stronger presence of wineries with close proximity to those vineyards.
Okay, I'm not a wine drinker, I have to confess, but one of our producers, Anna Casey, did want to try an Illinois wine last weekend with some of her friends and made this recording of her experience. Let's take a listen to it.
So surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, I'd never tried Illinois wine before, but I do enjoy wine from other places, so I thought I would give it a try before we talked about it on the show. So I decided to enlist the help of someone who knows a lot more about wine than me, my friend and colleague Dana Cronin, who's actually an agriculture reporter at Illinois Newsroom. But she grew up in Napa, and her dad is a winemaker. So I went to the store over the weekend. I picked out an Illinois wine. Most of them were sweet, but I tried to find the one that would be least sweet, according to the label. So this is a semi-sweet wine from Illinois Valley. And I let my friends Dana and her boyfriend Scott give it a try, and let's see what they think.
Tastes like cranberries.
Yeah, that is a good descriptor. Cranberries.
Yeah.
It's tart.
It's more like a juice.
It's definitely juicy. It's definitely sweet.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
Honestly, if you're thinking sweet wines, it's not bad.
Yeah, and if you're sipping on this I would add ice, maybe, almost. And if you're sipping on this on, like, a summer day, that sounds kind of nice. Yeah.
Sangria. It's a good sangria.
It is. It's reminiscent of sangria, for sure.
All right, Andres Basso, when Anna was buying wine in Champaign-Urbana, most of her options were sweet. Is that true of most Illinois wines?
I wouldn't say that is most of the Illinois wines are sweet. We have the tendency in the Midwest to enjoy sweeter products, sweeter wines. But I think that the 139-plus wineries in the state of Illinois are making excellent wines in a different style. So that's what I think.
Yeah, in a different style. So, Lisa, how about you? How would you describe if you had to say, you know, as much as you can reduce it, and obviously with that many different wineries, it's difficult to narrow it down, but is there a sort of a distinctive taste or set of tastes of Illinois wine?
Well, there really isn't. We can grow so many different grapes. In fact, many years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the industry started to look at what can we hang our hats on from a marketing perspective. And we decided as an industry to focus on a rosé, and especially a dry rosé, to kind of break through the market and start resonating with consumers. And so we evaluated what you might typically a dry French style rosé, and decided that we were going to embark on a mission to educate our winemakers and our growers on to how to grow a product that would lend itself well to that style of wine, and then also work with our winemakers to help them learn how to produce a world-class dry rosé. So we call it our Signature Series Rosé Project. We're just now on our, I think, fourth year of evaluating wines to be part of that series. And then we encourage those winemakers also to enter their wines in other national and international competitions. And honestly, Illinois is starting to get some attention in the rosé world. A good dry rosé can be made from just about any grape grown here in the state. And all of our Signature Series wines are produced from an Illinois grape. So I think on touching on the comment of wine being sweet, we hear this all the time, and it's kind of like the biggest obstacle to breaking through the clutter and the noise that people hear, is that all Illinois wine is sweet, and that is just not the case. We produce some very good world-class dry white and dry red wines here in the state. We had several Illinois producers win in the San Francisco Chronicles wine competition just recently, and, you know, come in with best of class medals. So
sure. Well, let me ask. Maybe
that
the
really
issue
is
then,
a misnomer.
Well, maybe the issue then, and this is just what Anna found at her local wine shop. Maybe this is an issue. Mm-hmm. Would changing the laws as your group is pushing for this year, would that make some of these dry wines you're talking about, or just any wines from Illinois wineries, would that make them more accessible to more people, and how?
Yes, we think it would. And I did want to tap into that self-distribution. So we do, our smallest producers in the state, people who produce less than 25,000 gallons of wine, are afforded a very minimal self-distribution level. We are just looking to expand that give our Illinois wineries an opportunity to grow their businesses. You know, for example, there's a production cap. So if a winery like Linfrid, for example, they produce more than 25,000 gallons of wine a year, they cannot self-distribute a single drop of that. So if the restaurant in Roselle, or if a restaurant in Roselle, or a grocery store wants to sell Linfrid's product, they have to call a distributor, reduce the price on that product in order to get it down the street. You know, the federal government identifies a small producer as a winery that manufactures 250,000 gallons or less. So we didn't just pick numbers out of thin air to change those production and self-distribution limits. We tried to develop a system of consistency that would make it easier on our producers to handle all of the different reporting they have to do at the state and federal level, and then open up the market so that producers like Linfrid can handle some transactions on their own.
Andres, what would this change, if it was approved by Illinois lawmakers, what would that mean for Linfrid, for the business at Linfrid there?
Well, first of all, it will allow us to, like Lisa mentioned, it allow to go to our local restaurants or retailers and without contacting our distributor, for example. And it will bring up a level of profit that we have lost by having this three-tier system in place. But unfortunately, with the COVID, we needed to sell more wine through distribution by being closed on the retail end of it. And so I was, mentioning to someone earlier, we sold more wine than ever before, but our earnings were reduced a lot as well. So we wanted to keep developing the business and expand the business, in a way to do it is by allowing us to self-distribute.
And Lisa, can you just talk about this distributor model? I mean, this is a holdover from Prohibition, right? And maybe that's not entirely fair. I'm sure if they were here, they would say they're providing essential function. What sort of pushback are you experiencing in the legislature, if any?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think that the tide is changing a little bit. Definitely the system right now as it exists favors a distributor, and a distributor has a strong role to play. I think the biggest objection that we hear is that, if we do this, it will collapse the three-tier system that we have here. And, to which I say that, how can that be the case? A producer of beer in the state of Illinois, their production cap is 930,000 gallons. 930,000 gallons of beer or less is what is defined as a small producer, and they can self-distribute 232,500 gallons, and the three-tier system has not collapsed. Where it really gets interesting and eye-opening is if you look at the average retail value of that level of self-distribution. So a brewer can grow their business, to a model of over $4 million worth of revenue based on their production and self-distribution caps. Whereas if you look at the average, retail price of a bottle of wine in the state, our manufacturers are kind of tapped out at $450,000 book of business. So with the number of distributors decreasing nationwide, getting their attention and getting their attention in a manner where they are actively working with somebody like Andre to grow Andre's business there at Linfrid Winery. If they can pick up a brewer that's got a $4 million book of business or a winemaker with $450,000, where do you think the energy and effort is going to go? So we're just asking for the opportunity to grow in a similar fashion to what's already happening in the state with another manufacturing line of alcohol, and receive some parity so that when Anna goes out to the grocery store, she might be able to pick up a nice bottle of a dry Illinois Chamberson, or maybe a dry white Chardonnay, instead of only having these, sweet options available to her.
That was our conversation with host Brian Mackey, speaking with Andre Spaso, general manager of Linfrid Winery in Roselle, Illinois, in the northwest suburbs. We were also joined by Lisa Ellis, executive director of the nonprofit Illinois Grape Growers and Vintners Alliance. an update on the legislation mentioned in that segment, the bill would have changed Prohibition-era limits on production and distribution for Illinois winemakers, but it did not pass this session. Lisa Ellis, who you heard from earlier, said they ran out of time, but they hope to resume their efforts in the fall veto session. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media.